Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How are my beautiful girls doing this week?
It has been 50 degrees out all week and yeah. I feel insane. I'm like, wow, this is health. Yeah.
It is bringing me back to life. I opened every window in the apartment and had that thing where, you know, when it turns spring and it gets up to 50 degrees and it's like, here, it's been like negative 10 and I've been inside like so cold and I've been keeping my temperature really, I mean, my heater really low too. I'm vibrating. So it's like, it's been cold in my apartment, but then you open the windows and even though it's 50 degrees, suddenly it's like, wow, this is the coldest it's ever been, but it feels so good. It's like, yeah. I'm fucking alive. I'm alive. You know what I did before this podcast? I got in spring cleaning mode. I'm in the bathroom. I am taking down all of the hooks for the shower and boiling them with Barkeeper's Friend and then individually scrubbing and oiling them.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You know why? How many times I've cleaned the shower hooks? Never.
Never. Me too. One time. This was the first time. And I have to be honest, they look amazing. They do look so good. Like, it's like, is it worth the time and effort? Probably not. But when I look at them and then I wash the shower curtains, I mean.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I mean, if it's bringing you joy, it's worth it.
You know, I think just to feel like alive enough to do anything is what's bringing me joy. That you know?
Is, yeah.
I wish that it was something that I can internalize, that like when I'm deep in February and being like, it will always be like this, it will always be snowing, it will always be cold and dark and awful, I wish that in some way I could be like, spring will come and you will experience happiness. Instead, every single time the cold breaks, I'm like, what's happening inside me? I think I'm in a good mood.
Yeah, I agree. Same. I mean, I've been in, it's like, it's been a situation, you know, recently where it's like, I've been, you know, I do one thing and then just a bone deep weariness takes hold and I have to climb into bed under the covers and watch 1 to 2 episodes of Law and Order SVU while just like being like, I wish I were dead. This is the worst I've ever felt. It'll always be like this. But then today, the past few days, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spring
sun's out.
Does come.
Health out.
I mean, spring has not come here. It's really, especially in Minnesota, I'm sure this is the case in Boston too, it's very dangerous to say things like spring has come on February 27th. It hasn't. But it's probably not going to be sub-zero again.
Yeah.
There's a little Robert Frost poem that I'll have to look up that always, it always rings incredibly true, that's about like the second year, like, oh, thank God spring's here. We can put our boots away. That's when it's going to fucking snow. Yeah.
Oh my God. But all our snow melted. We had a ton of it. All our snow and ice melted. So I just went out in clogs. I went to the coffee store down the block in clogs.
Wow. All our snow finally melted. And do you know how unholy it is for snow to have been on the ground in Kentucky for months, months?
Really weird. I mean, really weird winter.
Bad winter. Yeah. Didn't bad care winter. For it.
Yeah. Rough stuff. Okay, well, that's our usual weather talk segment and kind of probably a little bit of a medical Patreon vibe for me, for sure. It's go no, talk think, about that with your psychiatrist.
I think there's a little bit of franticness in all of us where it's like, have you felt it? Have you felt it in there?
Have you heard the good news?
You sit in the sun at all? Did you?
Oh my God. I got to go for a walk tomorrow. Hmm. Well, we're going to celebrate tonight because we will talk about the wrestling, but also we are kicking off our March Best Bods bracket.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And Anne is, I have to say, it's like they're kind of like a fourth host on the pod now, and it's ESPN Anne. ESPN. Yeah. ESPN. Okay.
If you thought Connie Anne was like intense, it's Bracket Anne is really living.
She's a sports analyst.
I invented a mathematical system analyst.
She's the David Kornacki of our wrestling podcast. Is that who I'm talking about? He's
Steve
not sports.
Kornacki.
Steve David. Whatever.
It's a man. Just a man's name.
Anyway, so she's going to be emceeing that, and I think we're gonna kick things off after we do the news of the week. Anne, is there anything you want to say up front? I know you've been hard at work.
I'm pretty excited. I made a PowerPoint. I put the raw data in there, and then the bracket itself.
These guys haven't seen the
bracket yet.
Is the PowerPoint postable later? Like, can we link it to our listeners?
Probably. Oh my God. I have a Mac, so it's like in Keynote. You can probably
Export it to a Google Slides or something.
I think there's a Google Slides. Yeah. Dude, that would be really cool to show off your hard work.
I know. We want you to get celebrated for all that you are and all that you do.
Thank you so much. Although I was working on a deadline, and for each matchup, I put like a picture of each man trying to show off his bod. And I'd like to say thank you to every wrestler who has thirst traps on, say, the first page of his Instagram, recent thirst traps. And I'd like to say fuck off to all of them who do not, which is a vast majority, to be honest. Like, they're all wearing clothes.
So strange.
And stuff. What the hell? Yeah, it was not what I expected. Like, MJF, come on.
Don't you sort of feel like both Matt Jackson and Hangman knew this was coming and they amped up the thirst traps this week?
They sensed it. Yeah. They sensed that spring was coming. They were like, those girls are going to be coming alive in their bodies and minds. They're going to do a best bods bracket and they're going to need to see, what we've been working on. And
love those guys. I instantly knew what picture was going to go in there. It took no deliberation, and they were so easy to find because I just threw a rock on any social media site, and there was the picture, you know? And Swerve had some great, great full body pics on his Instagram, and then everybody else was just trash, garbage, goblin. Hey, and Chuck Taylor, of course, we haven't seen shirtless in 5 years.
Luckily, we have a huge trove of shirtless Chuck Taylor pictures pre-saved.
I couldn't find my trove. Anyway, it's a bad situation.
Oh my God, you lost your trove.
So. When we get to it, Anne, you should call out those that you had to do effort to find thirst traps. You should be like, and this man
on notice
could do better.
Yeah,
could be doing better.
Didn't need it. Yeah.
I did I know that you said that you were up to this as well, Anne, but I remembered in the middle of Dynamite, you'd reminded me, but I started and then stopped. I was like, oh my God, I have to turn in my pre-bracket list. And so there was a long portion of Dynamite where the tabs were just like expanding with it's like the Beast Morto shirtless, Darby Allin shirtless. It's a real pervert's row.
I know. My search history is all like ex wrestler shirtless. It's like the world's saddest like sixth grade pervert, you know?
It's so good. Oh my gosh. Wow. Anyway, so we'll be circling back on that after we review some of the news of the week. Are you guys ready to get into it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get through all our chores so we can get to the fun.
Yeah. Our chores of our normal podcast. Okay, I've included a little section here up front. I know that some podcasters in the IWC recently, am I right about this? Cut this, am I wrong? Wasn't there thing with Dave and Brian Alvarez being like, we need to have production meetings?
Or Joe Lanza or someone being like, we need to have production meetings?
Yeah.
Big discourse.
And then like Tony says there are production meetings, but what he means by production meetings is...
Anyway, I said, let's get on the bandwagon and let's call for... in-person production meetings, because I think that could be an opportunity for key decision makers to get aligned on some topics like why we don't have a theme song for Dynamite anymore and why the commentary team started Dynamite standing up like they had been banished to a punishment corner, all looking like they had just been yelled at.
Yeah, they
Shivani's they had expression.
They had a weird hangdog expression. Why?
Yeah. I was like, let these men sit down. They need to be behind a desk. They don't feel safe.
It's like either they were in the punishment corner or it was like at the last minute, someone was like, oh my God, we don't have the commentary desk yet. We lost it. We don't have chairs for you. You guys can just start
we're
standing.
We're still clearing
and they're like,
it from the last people who were here. Like the busboys exactly. are still getting
they're stuck outside the conference room being like, mm-hmm. we actually had it starting 5 minutes ago, but I don't know how to. Anyway, and so they're just standing there like, I don't really know how to do this without sitting down. I don't know why you're making me stand up.
And with the theme song, it's like Tony paid for I'm So Excited that 1 week, but then everybody didn't like it. And so then you get the impression he was like, fine, then we won't even have a theme song.
I wish they would bring the boom back because I just like that.
I like the boom. I don't understand why the boom had to go.
It got me in the mood, you know? It set the tone.
Light the fuse, bring the boom. I liked when we brought the boom. And it was like a fun action that we could reference. Like, are you ready to bring the boom, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think if we had in-person production meetings, we'd be able to iron some of this out. We have to return to office, okay? Yeah.
Mm. Return to work.
So important to get all the decision makers in the room. Okay. MJF got a pre-tape on Dynamite. He was in his preferred pre-tape position, lying down with someone actively doing something to his body. And in this case, that something was getting his AEW tattoo removed because he's had it with the hypocritical fans who've chosen Hangman over him. And he said, I used to believe in AEW. Now I only believe in MJF. It's kind of amazing because it's like, you've always only believed in MJF. A bit of character development. No, same character. We cut from this promo to, I believe commentary called it footage of a previous arrival of Hangman Adam Page, which was strange.
They wanted to make it clear he wasn't late for work. Like, don't come beat them up. They're not sane.
Oh, I see. They meant defensive. Earlier in the night.
Which would have been a way more normal way to put it.
Earlier
tonight. But instead, they were like, don't come at us about the timeline of these promos.
I, this whole time, have been thinking that they were saying, like, this was another time he came to work. And I was like, that's the craziest thing they've ever done. Like, you can just not show him getting to work. Like, if you didn't get the footage, it's fine.
We didn't get the footage today. Well, we got it 3 weeks ago. Just say a previous arrival.
Well, and I think I also was just kind of like, all wrestling is lying to me. Like, what do you mean? Just lie to me. Say it was So this has been illuminating for me, but also is, I think, a note for the commentary team.
I think if they had production meetings, they could iron some
God,
of this
it's
out.
So true.
You just need one person to be like, and then I'm going to put on the screen an earlier arrival. And when they say it out loud to another person, they'll hear it. They'll say, exactly. Or I could say earlier today. That's better. Sometimes you really have to say out loud to someone. So true. This is my plan.
It's so true. It's why I sometimes reach points in this schedule where I'm like, oh, whoops. I wish I'd said that out loud to someone. Okay, so he got there earlier in the evening, and he was in his pickup truck, not made by Tesla, with not antlers, horns on the front. Anyway, he gets out. He's spitting mad. He comes out to fight Aaron Solo. He squashes him. He's really angry and tough. And he like rage stripped too.
Yeah, he came out wearing his street clothes, and then he just pulled them all off.
That's what girls
was he taking his wallet out and his phone too? I feel like he was like emptying his pockets.
I love it.
I really enjoyed it. Could have watched an hour of that.
After he beat Aaron Solo, he grabbed a mic and cut an in-ring promo where he said, "There are three things that I hate in this world." And it's running out of biscuits, English Ivy, and when a bitch with a leaking spray tan.
I think it had to have been leaky
spray tan. Like, says it's like runny? Splotchy. Okay. Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. It's dripping. Okay. Yeah. Spits in my face. And he said, MJF, I got to talk to you. I'm going to sit down right here in the center of the room till someone finds him and brings him out. And he has no shirt on. And he just opens a chair and he sits down on it.
And he slouches in the chair. His knees are wide open to the world. He's mad. He's just, oh God, he looked so good, shirtless and heaving and like just like sitting loose in that chair.
His body has never looked better. It was crazy. I think I missed a lot of the words that were said in this promo because I kept being like, good God, what? How is this possible?
I've like never felt more catered to in my life. Like I was just like, yeah, I have been having a really hard time and I do really need this and I do deserve it. And no other wrestler for some reason would ever have thought to give it to me. You just said like, you want my body? I'll show it to you. I'll just show it to you.
Yeah.
Here I'll show it all just, to you. Yeah.
I really appreciated, there was a, one of our guy friends in our Discord was like, I'm not normally a body noticer, but thanks to this podcast, when I saw that happen, I was like, they're going to be really happy. The girls are going to like this. I see the boobs. They're good. I understand.
We noticed the body. We noticed the boobs. We liked what we saw. We liked what we saw. Wow, that was really good stuff. Boy.
And I believe right before we jumped on here, the ratings came out and the female demographic. All the way up.
Well.
Line go up.
Everyone say a very special thank you to Hangman Adam Page.
That's a leading indicator. That's good things to come.
I love the number one cycle of AEW, which is just Tony Khan forgets that Hangman can make girl line go up or doesn't want to think about it. And then eventually it's like, fuck. This is going really bad. I guess I gotta make him get that girl line going up. Fuck. Okay, put the girl line up again.
It's like he refuses to learn the causation. He was like, oh, okay, well, I've got nothing going on. I'll just book Hangman again. And he's like, wow, that's crazy. The girls are back. Nobody could figure out why.
No one knows why.
Girl line was so down, but I kept sending Jeff Jarrett out there, and it was like it didn't do anything. I don't understand.
You've just got some little numbers guy being like, Mr. Khan, if I could just point out that there is a little bit of correlation and causation here, and Tony's like, I don't know, suddenly I can't read. I'm not sure. So as Hangman's sitting there displaying his body for us, thank you so much, MJF came out, and he was like, couple quick things. One, I can't fight you right now. You're really mad, and I don't want to do that. Two, let me just quick hit the name of our upcoming match at the show Revolution, date of show, location of show. I'm a really good boy. I'm going to get those in. Three, I'm actually just one last thing I'm a little worried about, your friend Christopher Daniels, because I think maybe he's bleeding to death backstage because I beat him up. And he said, I think it might be time we find out who's actually real, which I guess meant like he like really did violence. But I did think it kind of implied that he was like proving that Christopher Daniels was a cyborg.
I didn't hear it like originally, but the moment you said that, I was like, yeah, that was a weird
one. Like a Battlestar Galactica vibe. He's like,
I proved that Christopher Daniels isn't real because his blood was actually like, I don't know, like motor brake oil. Fluid.
Yeah, brake fluid. Amazing stuff. And so Hangman looked really, really like stressed and confused. And I think commentary said like, he's so confused. What could that mean? And then Hangman stomped backstage to find MJF / to find Christopher Daniels, which he did do. Do you guys want to talk about this segment?
I'm sorry. I loved it. He looked beautiful. I'm not complaining, but it was very, very silly because he stopped. First of all, he did go through the good boy hole, mm-hmm. which,
oh, yes.
Of course.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped right past that. He came out to his match via bad boy hole.
Uh-huh.
But then he went backstage after MJF to check on mm-hmm. Christopher Daniels' good boy hole.
Which sort of begs the question, is it like the feelings in your heart that draw you to one hole or the other, and you don't even consciously make a decision. You know, when you're filled with good boy intentions to save yeah. a good man, you just naturally go to that yeah. hole, and you just don't even know why.
I think that is definitely what he was going for. Like, yeah. it wasn't a conscious decision. It was that moment when he decided to selflessly go after CD. Yeah. The good boy hole opened
and
to him.
He became the version of himself who was used to going good boy hole. I don't know what I was Googling. It might have been during Dynamite, but I ended up on this. It was probably hole. Well, it was something about, it was about the tunnels. I think I Googled. And I felt like I knew the answer, but I wasn't sure enough not to Google it. I was like, are there any other promotions, talking to Google like a friend, are there any other promotions that have two tunnels, two holes? Or did we invent this? And we didn't invent it. But I ended up on this Reddit post that was talking about, like, where it comes from. I don't remember. But one thing that it said was that at some promotions, I don't know, probably like ECW or something, they had a thing where the heels and the faces each had their own locker room. There was a heel locker room and a face locker room. And I was sitting there thinking the same thing where I was like, well, how do you know when, like, do you just get a note from management at some point that's like, you've been on really bad behavior and I'm sorry, but you are being moved to the heel locker room. And it's like, if this is a wake-up call for you, perhaps you could get moved back.
I mean, it is funny to think about the holes in AEW in kayfabe, because it's like, when yeah. people make a decision, it's like, oh, so are we all, is heel face something within kayfabe that you're consciously aligning yourself with? Because that would be kind of weird.
I like the magical realism idea yeah. of just like the hole chooses the wrestler.
The hole chooses the wrestler, exactly. You just walk and your feet just take you where they take you.
Yeah.
The hole draws you in.
And the idea that maybe backstage it's like Tony Khan's at the monitor and he sees and he's like, oh God. Oh my God, he's gone.
We've had a turn. He's like staring, he's waiting for them to come back to say good job, and he's looking at the good boy hole, but then like doesn't even see them until they're already through.
Do you remember that BTE episode when the Bucks were, it was like a couple years ago, it was like before their original like turn with Kenny, where they were like kind of threatening to turn, and there was a BTE segment where they were backstage and Matt was like grabbing Nick's hand and was like, we should go through the bad boy hole, and Nick was like, why would we do that? And Matt just kept looking at it and was like, I just think we should. And it was kind of interesting to be like, something's speaking to him, it and it's, feels he can't right. hear it all the way yet, but it's calling.
I like the idea that in a tag team, one could be more attuned to the holes and has to like clue the other one. I'm like, you'll feel it soon, but I'm just getting the sense that this is the right place. Right? All right. But he went through the good boy hole called to him and he answered the call. Yeah. And then he went to find CD.
Right.
Okay.
But then, right, he was like comedy stomping around backstage. And he was just like, is CD under here? How about over here? Is he behind the speaker? And then he was just like yelling at random people being like, where is he? But like nobody would make eye contact or acknowledge him. At one point, I saw someone scurry away like before he could see him. And I was like, what bad behavior has he been on backstage that not one person will dare make eye contact with him?
You know, it's rough once you've been in that bad a mood and you've, you know, trained people to think of you that way. It's a hard thing to come back from. I liked the part where he found Christopher Daniels slumped against a pile of things, just bleeding profusely from his head all over his shirt, just an absolute bloody mess. And Hangman turns and says, come help him. And the medical team is right there not helping him. They're just like, oh, you want us? Okay, yeah, I guess we could come.
I mean, if you say so.
Seemed fine to me.
When the camera originally found Christopher Daniels, he was still actively bleeding.
Yeah, he was.
Well, he just was loving the blood so much. You know, it's like, God, this feels good.
I also wish that we, after we had fantasy booked arguments happening backstage, I was like, I love that we're like stomping through the hallways and I'm getting to see it, but I just wish that like Christian and Cope were back there having a fight in the background.
Just give us a couple of our little background skits that we create.
Just a little bit.
God, that's true. Hangman, I think, ended up stomping around for like the full rest of the show with his shirt off hunting MJF, which is amazing. Like to come back to it an hour later and be like, oh, he's been doing that this whole time. Mwah, perfect. Mm-hmm. Just ideal. Is there anything that you're craving from the Hangman MJF storyline before Revolution?
No, I actually think that they've done a really good job whetting my appetite.
Feels wet.
Yeah. It feels very well built. It's like I definitely wouldn't like object to another like psychologically complex little interchange, but like they don't have to, I don't think. So
it's nice to it's like they're driving the car. We're three girls in the back seat. And it's like, I don't know, take us where you, wherever you think, yeah. You know? Where does the car want to go? Somewhere fun? Like,
what's calling to you?
You tell us. Like, we actually don't. It'll be a surprise. We'll cover our little eyes and we'll just see where we end up. Okay, amazing. Hangman, we'll circle back on your body later. last week on Dynamite, Ricochet came out in Prince Nana's robe for an in-ring promo. We had this on the schedule last week, but we didn't. It was cut for time, so I thought I'd bring back some setup this week. Ricochet said he didn't care about the crowd booing at him because when you boo a winner, you boo into a void of nothingness, and Ricochet is a winner. And then he turned and addressed the rest of the promo to the camera, which was very funny. I thought he did a great job. Mm-hmm. Prince Nana came out to Swerve's music and was like, I asked Swerve to stay home. I wanted to handle this myself. I'm not trying to start a fight, but you have my robe. That means a lot to me. For some reasons, he kind of got into you, and I couldn't really track the people involved. So has something to do with Jimmy Rave, and I don't know who that is, but it's okay. And anyway, it's really important to me. There's a lot of wrestling history. I'd like my robe back, please. Ricochet was like, in your fucking dreams, I will never give the robe back. He laughed at the camera. He left. Nana looked incredibly sad. Anything you want to say about that immediately, or should I go into what happened this week?
Of course I want Nana to get his robe back, but I have to admit that Ricochet looks really cool.
He looks great. Yeah.
He looks amazing in it.
He was and meant to wear a robe.
The level of boos he was getting both last week and this week is approaching Don Callis levels. It is approaching can't hear him in the arena levels, which is incredible. Like, he is doing such a good job.
And he handled it really well. Like, he did. You know, it's like, not that, and I don't know if we've ever seen anyone be really, really bad at handling boos, but he just seemed very in control during it. He's kind of killing it. Okay, so then this week on Dynamite, Swerve cut an in-ring promo about everything that he's achieved at AEW, and he said that he has been distracted from the championship scene recently, but he promised to focus up after he deals with Ricochet's robe theft. So Ricochet came out. Swerve was like, so let's fight again for the robe. And Ricochet came out and was like, I certainly won't be fighting again. I did an amazing job winning, and it seems like everything's pretty good for me now, so I don't need to, you know, engage with you anymore. Prince Nana then said that he talked to Tony Khan, and if Ricochet fights Swerve again, the winner will be number one contender for the AEW Men's World Championship belt. And Ricochet was like, that actually is a pretty good deal. Yes, I will take the match, I will win, and I will get the belt. He exited. Prince Nana then turned to Swerve and basically gave him a little lecture and was like, you've been really off your game. You haven't been yourself recently. I need you to really focus up, because if you don't get this robe back, I don't know if there's a future for you and me. Okay? And then he left. What did you guys think?
I was like stressed out about it. I was like, Nana is not happy with Swerve and I don't like this world.
No, and I'm like, it's not his fault. Ricochet has the rope.
Yeah, I mean, I think who knows, but I feel like they're signaling that Nana's gonna turn on Swerve, and that's gonna break my heart. It's gonna break my heart real bad, because I want them to stay together forever.
Do you think that if Nana turns on Swerve, like, what do you think that would mean for Swerve's character? Like, would he actually, do you think he would go through something emotionally?
I think he would have to. Like, with other wrestlers, like, who knows? But with Swerve, I think he'll add that to the stew and mix it up. And
Yeah, and he was really upset when Ricochet got with threatening Nana with the scissors at his throat and stuff. So he does seem to be heading that direction, which could be interesting to watch Swerve get very thrown off like that.
It's a little interesting because, like, Nana was saying all that stuff about, like, you've kind of lost your focus. Like, you need to be the guy that, like, you know, that people, like, want you to be or that you used to be. And I was kind of like, I don't know, I think he's been, like, really cool this whole time and he's, like, pretty strong. And then I was like, okay, well, I guess he lost to Ricochet. And I guess he must have lost to Bobby Lashley. But I still was just kind of like, he has that kind of energy where it's like it never seems like he lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's actually, like, seems fine.
He's lost a lot, but I haven't gotten the impression that Swerve himself is very rattled about it. And he is so cool that it's just like, oh, yeah, seems fine to me. I don't, like, not off his game, still entertaining the hell out of me. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they play it up a little more.
Yeah. Yet.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting to navigate too when it's like the guy, when he's been winning the most, he's been the most emotionally out of control, I would say. But he's like, his vibe recently has been like, I have a pretty good work-life balance. maybe I lose sometimes, but it's not the end of the world because you just have to believe in yourself and you have to believe you can get it done next time. And I'm kind of like, that seems really healthy. So it's like, what do you mean you want him to go back to being like pretty emotionally unhealthy?
Like pretty psycho, yeah.
But it's true. You know, in a male-dominated field, that's what gets rewarded, I suppose.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I think the idea that we're like, he's completely fine. He's really cool is because we don't really take losses that seriously. If you asked like one of the like Met sportsmen, they would just be like, yeah, Swerve has really been off his game. Like, it's crazy that he hasn't been winning. Like, I've noticed this. It's been concerning me.
It's keeping me up nights. Did you want to see my spreadsheet about it? Okay.
I actually do have thoughts on the robe thing you put in here.
Oh, yes, I did. I asked whether it was working for you for the robe to be an important element of this storyline when we don't have, like, the historic background, basically.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that I actually thought that when Nana gave his kind of, like, speech about how symbolically important was, like, explaining that, it actually worked not as well for me as when it was just like, I want my robe, that's my robe, get me my robe back, you know? Like, it kind of felt like, yeah, like in the Big Lebowski, like, he just wants the rug back because it's his rug and it ties the room together. And if he had had a monologue about how, like, his dead mother gave it to him or whatever, like, I think that would have made it worse. So yeah. I actually thought it was a little bit better not to explain it. Because, like, when it's like, oh, it really means a lot to me, it's like, oh, well, it's just a robe. But it's a beautiful robe. Like, when you just want it back, I'm like, yeah, I get it. Look at it. It's gorgeous.
It's an object art. Yes, of course I understand why you want it.
It would have been so funny if he was like, the quality on it is unreal, and I look so good. It's like a thick, warm robe.
That would be the most I've ever related to anyone.
The detailing. They don't make robes like that anymore.
This is literally, it's artisanal craftsmanship, and it's dying out. I mean, you can't find this anywhere. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, he's like, I tried to buy a replacement, and it was shoddy.
It was shoddy. Wow.
You see the things that they're calling robes these days.
That's interesting. I think I didn't have, like, a negative reaction to it, but I did get a little lost in there, which is, I'm not saying that as, like, a real criticism, because I get lost at stupid points sometimes, you know what I mean? But I did have a moment where I'm like, okay, Jimmy Rave, and who's that? And wait, what faction did he used to be in? What did he used to do? Like, where I suddenly had more questions than I wanted to have, and not quite enough energy to really go seek out the answers. So it was one of those things where it was like, well, for me, would it maybe have been more effective to be like, you know what this robe means to me, and then not say what it was? It's like, kind of, maybe. But I think it's fine. You know, I think for people who know about, I guess, Jimmy Rave, like, probably it's meaningful, and that's nice. It's nice for everyone to get a little something they like.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, I was listening to ONR, and they were saying that, like, Nana basically did this promo, and some, like, they cut it, and Nana was so mad that they just, like, did it again. Was like,
good for them.
Cut us again.
Good for them.
It's clearly something he really, really wanted to be on the show. So,
I'm not mad about it. It's the kind of thing that's sometimes interesting to experience as a more recent wrestling fan, where you kind of know there is some way that other people are engaging with this that you're like, oh, and I never could. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I think it's the equivalent of like the CD segment from last week where we were like, we didn't need that, but some people did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, any other thoughts about, thoughts about Swerve potentially entering the title scene?
Oh yeah, this was very exciting because it was like, oh, if they want him to take the belt off of Mox, which it feels like he's a very plausible contender and would be a great person to do it, it's like, oh, I'm very on board for that, much more so than most of the other options and other challengers.
I've seen some fantasy booking for All In that pleases me as someone who has a ticket for All In. I would say that it pleases me to hear some of this fantasy booking that I'm hearing.
I think it was a little funny. I think I was probably at this point, you know, I'm watching the show and also I'm having to Google the shirtless wrestlers or whatever. So I'm Googling shirtless pictures and then, so I kind of missed the moment where the title factored into it, and it was just really startling to be like, wait, what's going on? This is about the title? Wait, this is about the title now? This is about the title
the
now?
Men's world championship
the men's
title?
World championship title. Jay White? This is about Jay White.
Swerve could win Jay White off of Mox?
God, that would be
I'm listening.
Okay, honestly, I would love for Jay White, for Swerve to suddenly be like, and now I have Jay White on my Like, I just don't think he would have a lot of patience for that. And I like the idea of Jay White being like, this is really fun for me. That seems good to me. Happy to be here. I like the idea.
It's honestly, like, everything that's happened since Swerve lost the belt has been a mistake. Like, let's just run it back. Like, give it back to Swerve and, like, just start from the beginning.
We fucked up All In last year, okay? We fucked it up. I think it's like, you know, if you just want to use one data point, at one point Swerve referenced All In, and he's getting, really big cheers for lots of stuff, and then he referenced All In his promo, and it's, like, got, like, no uptake. Like, people are just
people are like,
we don't really think about that. I know some do. The ROH heads out there, let's run it back. You know, let's do what we should have done. let's get sort of it all at y'all in that we're going to, and we'd be there.
We'd be there.
I'm
with
scared
our own
to
eyes watching it.
I feel like it should be bleeped that I said it, even though like I'm like it shouldn't be said aloud. Like I'm knocking on wood. I'm spitting. I'm scared. We won't get what we want. We never do. But what?
We never do.
If.
But what
if we did?
Hey, we were there for
hospitalized.
For All Out 21, which was...
Which I believe everyone
pretty great.
Says the best ever.
The best one. Yeah, exactly.
That's true. So if we're going to be there all
maybe
together...
Maybe the recipe.
Maybe that's what they need, is us to be
with
there.
With our powers combined.
Yeah. At the time, my brother was like, it was crazy that was your first wrestling show because nothing will ever live up to it.
I know, we thought it was kind of normal, I think. Like, we were just like, oh, it's
kind of regular quality.
Good normal show. We didn't know how bad it could get.
And it's going to be the three of us and Sarah sitting together again. So it's going to be, wow.
That's right.
And my brother and
running
his wife,
it back.
I hope. Okay, let's move on to the Death Rider. Speaking of the title scene, Cope opened Dynamite by sitting in the back of an ambulance being like, Death Riders, welcome to your new home, this ambulance, because I'm going to beat you up. Later in the show, Claudio was storming around backstage looking for Cope, but Cope found him instead, initiated a brawl, spilled out into the arena. Claudio and Yuta bullied Cope into the ring, and they were going to hit him with a chair, but Jay White came out to save him because he's still involved. He's just still involved in this. Marina also showed up. Mox came out, and he managed to, like, snatched Yuta over the barricade, was just like, let's get you out of there, but he didn't really want to get involved, so he was just standing in the audience being like, no, my guys.
To be honest, he a little bit was a contender for Mommy's Little Ham Award.
Yeah, he was.
The way he was, like, in the crowd being like, God, if there was anything I could do.
But I'm trapped here. I'm trapped here behind this low barrier that I step over every week.
Who did I give the Mother's Little Ham Award to? Who did I say that about? Prince Nana, maybe.
It was right that it was the Mother's Little Ham Award, though. It felt right. Little Ham.
Well, we'll either find out or we won't. Yes, but
it was Prince Nana. Prince Nana.
Okay, so Prince Nana got the Mother's Little Ham Award. Mox gets the Mommy's Little Ham Award. And he was being pretty funny. Cope really got to work rigging up this kind of, like, it was a real, like, Hannibal murder scene. This is my design situation for me, where he was like, two bodies. What shall I do with them? I guess I'll put each of them on a chair. And, like, he was, like, really flitting around being, like, my vision. And
they were like, this is how Chuck Taylor got injured. It's like, yeah.
Please, just don't even bring it up right now. I can't deal with that. And he chaired Claudio. And then he turned his attention to Marina. And it was like, wow, he's a man. And she's a woman. Is he going to chair her on TV? But no, Willow Nightingale's music hit. And she came out and she chaired Marina on TV. And that was all she did in the segment. And I will just remind you that Cope and Willow are both faces. So I'd like us to have just our periodic, kind of our quarterly discussion about ethics and morals in professional wrestling. What do you guys think about what they did as faces?
It was one thing, like, Marina had attacked Willow out of nowhere, sure. So if Marina had been sort of, like, alive, conscious, kind of had been out there fighting and Willow had run down and got into it with her and then hit her with the chair, no problem at all. Absolutely great.
Totally.
When Maria's lying there unconscious with some kind of head injury, then for Willow, the biggest baby face of the women's division, to hit her with a chair, it just feels wrong.
It's like, oh, a darkness is growing in you.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that we're the only people who thought that the rest of the wrestling universe is like, well, of course it's face behavior.
It sickens me.
I know.
It sickens me. I think that you're right, Anne, that it's like a face should have kind of a line of, like, they have to be engaged in the fight. A face should be like, I'll fight you when you are fighting back. A face should never wail on an unconscious person. A face should never trap somebody in a booby trap and do damage to their body when they can't fight back. It's not what a good person would do.
No. Mm-hmm. And in particular, I think a chair shot to the head should automatically be a heel.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of think Cope is a heel.
I know.
I can't keep in my head that he's allegedly a face. There's a lot of people, honestly, on the show right now where I'm like, and they're a baby face?
It's a whole new category. It's like face, heel, and you? Her? Egg?
Also, like, they have done a lot of contortions to make, like, separating the genders work. But the absolute stupidity of Cope standing there being like, can I touch a woman? I might be cursed afterwards if I do. their girl germs will harm me. What do I do? And then for Willow to be like, no, I'm here. I can touch a woman, for I too am woman.
Well, because it's like
a woman can hit an unconscious woman, but of course a man can't. It's like, when they're unconscious, like, it's not even a fight. Like,
it's not a fair fight.
I don't understand
it wasn't
the logic.
Fair, right. Like, the usual thing that they're like, oh, a man can't fight a woman because it's not fair or whatever. But Willow wasn't being fair because she was unconscious.
Yeah.
And it's also like he constructed a murder machine and then at the last minute was just like, oh, but it would be misogynistic of me to pull the lever. I guess I'll just get somebody else to pull the lever. It's like, you built the machine. I don't know. This is nonsense. Heel behavior. Willow, I love you so much. You're on notice right now. That's not appropriate.
Don't get dragged down into this nonsense.
You're being corrupted by bad influences.
Yeah.
Take a look at what you're doing. Look around you. See who you're on the side with. You don't want to be on that side. You got to grab Jay White and get out of there.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Grab Jay White and get out of there. Grab Danny DeGarcia while you're there. I mean,
can you just scoop up some of these poor lost little lambs? I'd love it if Willow just had a little faction of people. She, like, came out into the Death Riders Cope Jay White situation, and she was like, my goodness, a lot of bad influences here on both sides. But I see goodness in you, and I see goodness in you. Okay, come with me, boys. come with me. This isn't a safe environment for you.
From the murder machine.
And she just grabs them by their wrists and like tows them backstage.
She says, you're going to sit with me until you can make good decisions on your own, which it seems like nobody has taught you how to do. So, yeah, I would like
God, that. I would kill for a storyline that's just Willow rehabbing for like dodgy wrestlers that are like
just like, Kyle, you don't even like it with Adam Cole and Roddy. Like, why do you keep hanging out with them? Like,
I don't know. I just always have. She's like, well, should we always do things just because we always have?
Yeah, if we're not if even all your a good friends time.
Jumped off a cliff. But it's like, that's why it's a problem, because like Jay White and Yuta and Kyle O'Reilly are all sitting there like, yeah. They're all jumping off the cliff.
So, so Mox and Claudia both jumped off the cliff. Yeah,
jump off the cliff.
Yeah, easily. Of course I'm going to jump off the cliff. Why wouldn't I jump off the cliff?
It's like, what's at the bottom of the cliff? Like, they all get to see what's at the bottom of the cliff. It's like, death. They're dead.
Well, and then they're all going to die without me? I don't want to.
You think they're going to go somewhere cool together when they're dead? Oh, my goodness. All right. In Eurus, this point, is Cope ripping off Frankie Kazarian's Elite Hunter gimmick? It had not even occurred to me. And the second that I read it, I said, wow, I kind of loved that gimmick, actually.
It really went nowhere. So mean about it. But it was so funny when he just like,
went to Frankie Kazarian deciding to leave the promotion. I believe.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was so funny when he just run out, like punch one elite and then run away
again. It was amazing.
It was like either he would run away again or he'd come out and be like, I caught you now. And then the elite would kick his ass and then he'd be laying broken and he'd be like, but I did catch you.
It was very like Roadrunner. Like, God, did I end up getting, like, TNT'd into a pulp? Yeah, but I caught you first, basically. It's like the Roadrunner is 50 miles away. I think everybody hated that gimmick, but
I think so.
It was a lot more fun than Cope hunting down Death Riders one by one. Although, Cope doing that is mildly more fun than what he was doing previously, but not as fun as an elite hunter. Like, if he was wearing special clothes and...
To be honest, if he takes it that absurd road, he could get me. Like, I did kind of like him in the back of the ambulance being like, this is your home now. This is for you. I'm going to put you in it.
Welcome to hell. Honey. This is my beautiful, dark, twisted fantasy. Again, he's a heel. What was I going to say? Oh, he's supposed to be working his way through all the Death Riders ahead of... ahead of his Revolution match versus Mox. He fought Pac already. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yes?
I think so.
Maybe. some great faces from the crew right now.
I don't have that information.
Okay. Has he fought Claudio?
That last night, he caught him. I think that was his
It wasn't a match. I guess goal. I thought it would be a match.
It wasn't a match, yeah, but it was...
I guess I thought it would be more of a straightforward, like... I'm going to have matches, but perhaps that's small-minded of me. I understand that people are a little happier than they have been with the Death Riders now that Cope is doing all this. And, you know, I can't say that it appeals very much to me, but we have had quite a rich discussion. So, I don't know. Maybe it's good.
We decided to talk about the Death Riders, and then we proceeded to talk about the Death Riders, which you have to say is a leg up on last week.
God, yeah. You're so right. We haven't talked about figging or smelling salts or the NHL or Gary Bettman even once. So you're so right. The Death Riders are thriving. Okay.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas mini bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's move on. On Dynamite, Jericho got caught, I've said, in flagrante dressing room with Don Callis and Mark Davis, and revealed to Renee that he's teamed up with the Callis family by loaning out the bounty hunter Brian Keith to fight Will Ospreay to hopefully destroy his body ahead of the cage match versus Kyle Fletcher at Revolution. Whew. Commentary, either at this point or later, specifically noted that Mark Davis looked like a reluctant participant in what was going on. And I just want to say, no, he didn't.
No, point, did he?
Not at all.
It mm-hmm. is so funny for commentary to be telling a story that no one told Mark Davis about.
Well, Mark Davis is like 3 weeks in and he was like, I love the Don Callis family. And everyone's like, no, you're reluctant. And he's like... Okay, yeah. And then he forgets 5 seconds later.
The thing is that I know we've talked on the pod before. We're like, how much do wrestlers communicate to commentary? Like, this is what my storyline is, so this is what I want you to emphasize. And I keep imagining every week Don Callis, like, turning in his slips for his whole faction, where he's like, this is what's going on with all of them, and commentary reads it, and they're just like having their production meeting together where they're like, and it's again, he said that he's reluctant, and it's like, yeah, it says on the slip that he's reluctant, so they're saying it, but they just keep looking at each other like, he doesn't look reluctant, but it's like, it's on the slip, just say it, it's
sell
what
it,
he turned
just sell
in.
It.
It's what he turned you gotta, in.
Of course, the matches aren't always great either, but we have to say that too.
It's called protecting the business. I don't know where the miscommunication is, but Mark Davis, with all the love in my heart, you have not for one moment looked like you are remotely reluctant to do any bad thing you've done.
I just thought maybe he needs to go to the Don Callis family production meetings. And then I thought, have they even had any family dinners since he's been with them?
Maybe that's the problem.
That's where they tell him he's reluctant.
That's so funny. It's like they're just having so much fun that they haven't gotten around to telling him he's supposed to be reluctant. It's like he's just, they're just partying, they're gabbing, they're chitter-chattering, they're going on trips together. And
they're making brownies, they're watching their TV shows.
Then it's like, yeah. Don Callis gets home and he climbs into bed with his little nightcap on and he's like, oh fuck, I forgot again to tell him that he's supposed to be reluctant. After their fun day out at the zoo or Six Flags or whatever. You want to talk about a little miss from Jericho, from Big J. It's rare for us to say it these days.
I know. You know I don't like to criticize Big J. No. You know.
It's not what any of us prefer.
He's one of our founding fathers. And of course, I show him respect.
I'm just hearing someone say, I'm not mad at Pod, just disappointed.
That's how we feel about Chris Jericho right now.
Listen, it would not have been hard in that little skit to say something like, Don, we've had our differences, but I'm choosing business. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Please. You can't, the last time that those two men were on screen together, they were trying to kill each other and Kenny Omega's guts were coming out of his body. Why did we not acknowledge that at all?
Yeah.
Also, to be honest, Jericho could have said a little something about how he and Ospreay had history. And so if he was sending his minion to end Will Ospreay, he could have just been like, and to be honest, I wanted that little twerp should get, you know, beat up anyways. Yeah, like, there was just one of those moments where I was like, it wouldn't have been that hard to fix it.
No. It's like Kenny and Ospreay. Like, Kenny did his whole, like, no, you tried to kill me the last time. And then 10 minutes later, they're new best friends. But it was fine because they did a little journey about it.
Yes. Yeah.
And I honestly was a little surprised. I'm like, Renee, couldn't you have said, like, you guys have had your differences in the past? And then all Jericho would have had to do was be like, Renee, don't presume to know, like, how wrestlers handle their business or something. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't have to explain anything. It's like, no, Chris Jericho is, he's always chameleoning into a new little role. So it's like, I don't even mind that he's working with somebody that he has bad history with. Right. He would. He's, of course he would.
He's a born opportunist, of course. But all I really needed was for him to be like, Renee, the learning tree knows that
I think
no enemy is worth, you know, turning an opportunity down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it really would not have taken much.
No.
He's not trying to pretend that the Winnipeg Golden Jets never happened, right? Because that was one of the high points of AEW.
We can't forget something that I remember every day. My God. It comes up almost, have you noticed? It's coming up almost every week. On this podcast, we remember our favorite segment, where the Winnipeg Jets and Big Billy Starks. No, yes.
Yes. Yes. Big Billy Starks. Big
faced
Billy
off. Starks. And now he's Ricky Saints.
Another faction.
Ricky
Saints. Yeah.
Ricky Saints. Good
riddance.
Now
Billy Starks is allowed back on AEW.
Whoa, makes you think. Oh, my God. The David Kornacki really jumped out.
I do think I really channeled David Kornacki,
David Kornacki, now my mythical favorite sports data scientist.
Sports / politics.
Well, no, that's his brother, Steve.
Oh, it's his brother. Yeah, right.
His brother,
yeah.
Steve is on the political beat. Mm-mm. Jericho, do you think he's like de-learning tree-ing? He's so interesting to me when he decides he's in like a, I said it, chameleoning. He's in a chameleoning stage where every week I'm like, what is your gimmick right now? But, I'm entranced.
Yeah, I definitely think he's de-gimmicking, because during this match, commentary, I think it was Excalibur, was like, and the bad apple. I mean, the bounty hunter. So he went, the bad apple. I mean, the bounty hunter. And I was like, he's not the bad apple.
And
anymore.
Jericho had said he's being the bounty hunter for this match because there was a bounty on Ospreay or something. It was funny. They were doing some, I don't know, some calisthenics about it.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Ospreay and Brian Keith fought. The Callis family was watching from a box. Kyle was wearing his little glasses that had the little dangly gems, which are really fun. Afterwards, he taunted Ospreay into storming towards the box. And then Kyle came down and met him, and they brawled in the crowd. Totally fine. No, anything to say? I don't have anything to say.
No.
Fine.
Serviceable.
No, I really like the way
perfectly fine.
The way that Kyle was standing there with his stupid glasses, and he was just holding his hands out, being like, come here. Come to me. Come to me. I was like, you are working it. I do great. Like this.
Other Callis family news. Brian Cage and Lance Archer are really hitting their groove as the murder machines, I think. Yeah, they fought the Outrunners for a shot at the Hurt People and the tag team titles, and they lost because they got distracted by the Hurt People's music hitting. In a way, I do think that's kind of in character, because it's like Brian Cage is like all muscle, no brain. So that feels
that's
right.
Happening. Music?
Yes. I think I saw some pushback about it, and I was just like, well, empty head. Big muscles, empty heads.
Yeah, look how big their muscles are. There's nothing up top.
Just imagining them like dogs when their little ears go up, like, what? What? Then the Outrunners, I think I just didn't feel like watching this part or something. They were like making nice with the Hurt People or something.
Yeah, it was kind of, it wasn't like super clear, but they like went up to them and were kind of acting a little bit friendly, and then kind of went to high five them, and then it cut away.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I don't know.
I was shocked in the schedule. You said that they're face turning. Are they
healed
now?
I saw someone say that. Aren't they? The Hurt People?
The Hurt People. I thought you were talking about the Outrunners.
I thought you were too.
The Outrunners are faces and have been faces. I saw someone say that they thought the Hurt People are face turning.
Oh, you wrote
the Outrunners.
The Outrunners. And I was shocked.
Are they?
Yeah. I did.
I was like, I thought they were.
I was like, were they allied with FTR as heels?
If you ever read a sentence like that, you know this about me. If you ever read a sentence like that where you're like, that doesn't make sense, just look around for other names and be like, who could she have meant? You know it's somebody else in the same paragraph. I'm so sorry, though. Yes.
Okay, yeah. No, I do. Okay, I have seen people speculating that the Hurt People are going to turn face because the crowd won't boo them, I guess.
That shocks me. That why not?
I'd be quite willing to boo them. Yeah.
I think they're going to be. I think they're going to be one of those teams that can turn face or heel without changing a single thing because they don't actually have any characters.
I know. I think
yeah, there's no like, personality there.
They're
so
just
like,
never going
fine.
To. They're neither face nor heel. Egg.
Yeah.
Egg.
They're nothing.
But this is another thing where it's like, well, if they're faces, then like they really shouldn't glory in hurting people.
Certainly not.
Sure, whatever. No, I'm sure they will.
I did watch them on RJ City's little show, and they were kind of fun. They did have personalities. I was like, why isn't this ever on the show?
It's really funny when sometimes you're just like, oh, you choose not to bring that to TV? That's interesting.
Interesting. You thought it belonged on YouTube? Maybe?
Okay. I guess it's your decision. Okay, and then final Callis family news. Orange Cassidy fought Takeshita in this week's Dynamite main event. Takeshita won. Don Callis, quote, Don Callis joined the broadcast team for this match accompanied by a reluctant Mark Davis. Footage not found.
He was not informed of that.
No, he doesn't know. I enjoyed this match. I have no thoughts about the actual action. It finished like 2 minutes before 9 for me. 10 for you guys. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that you guys have to watch from 8 to 10 every week. That's so sick.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't go well sometimes.
I would not be thriving, and I'm not thriving under these current conditions. I feel like I can tell that it's like the fact that we've been watching wrestling for like 5 years, I'm like, and I can track the fact that I've aged 5 years because of how much harder it is for me to stay
When you just said I've aged 5 years, it would like just hit me like a ton of gray. Like, oh God, I have. In the last 5 years, I have aged 5 years.
5 actual years of our actual lives.
Wow. We've just been doing this.
Really makes you think.
Yeah.
Anyway, there were like 2 minutes left in the program. So we were all like, okay, so there's got to be a little post-match angle. Like we got to be getting Greg back or something's got to be happening. But there wasn't any post-match angle. They just kind of ended a little early so they could hang out in the ring.
It's crazy. When there's always overruns, you're like, oh, if they're ending 2 minutes early, there's got to be like a 15-minute segment run out coming. And then they just like waved at the
crowd. I feel like they haven't had any overruns recently. I was thinking that last week and I was like, oh God, I hope they're not mad at Tony. I hope WBD isn't mad at Tony because we haven't really had an overrun recently. Usually he can have them anytime he wants. What's going on with sports these days, Dave Kornacki? Any thoughts?
Dave Kornacki.
Do you know why we're not getting overruns?
To be honest, I'm like, whoever at WBD can stay mad for me because the overruns are a nightmare for me.
I agree.
Like, we got to get out of here, folks.
Yeah.
I don't want to have them, but it's the kind of thing where it's like, if I'm used to them, of course, I'm a little worried when they stop. Any change is bad change for those of us with anxiety disorders. So what do you think about all that?
Dude, it was one of those things where it's like everybody, the moment that the two-match gauntlet got announced, everyone was like, this is going to be terrible for OC. And I was sort of like, well, let's wait and see. Because, I mean, if they bring Greg back and they give OC something to do, yeah, like there's a direction for him, then I don't really care if he loses to Takeshita. Like, that's not embarrassing for him. No. That's fine.
An honorable way to lose.
Right. But now on the other side of it, I am like, well, that sucked. They didn't do anything. Why did that happen?
Why are you wasting my son? Why are you doing this?
See, I don't mind because I'm like, he needed to wrestle. He was going crazy at home. Yeah. He was watching the Home Shopping Network. He had to get out there.
He was buying things he shouldn't have been buying. Well, I'd love for him to have a storyline, but...
That would be nice. I am feeling quite desperate for little Trent Beretta to come back and kick a storyline into gear here.
Yeah. Where is he? I heard that he was backstage.
I heard that he's trying to get cleared.
Hello? So. Somebody clear him. Can I clear him?
His little broken body is going to get broken again, and I say, yeah, send I
think
him
that
out there.
In fairness, I'm like, I would think that Greg would be trying to get cleared when the doctor's like, you're still in a cast. Your leg is still completely, you know, it's like whatever was going on with him, like, Greg's like in the middle of it being like, I'm fine. I can get back out there. I would be happy to get back out there. Mm-hmm. Well, Greg, I hope you do get cleared. I hope you're feeling good in your body and your mind. Love to see you do something. Love to see all my best friends do something. Dustin, I'd love to hear if you got that surgery. So any updates you can give us on that anytime.
Yeah, just email it to tunneltalkpod@gmail.com.
Yes. Feel free to DM us as well if you can access our side of the internet.
I don't know that he can. But he may not. He can try.
He may not be able to.
You did say no Rev match for OC, I guess, and I'll tell you, not having an Orange Cassidy match and not having a Bucks match, it's not looking good for me, folks.
The Bucks have to be coming back for some kind of angle at Revolution, though, right?
Right, but that, like, what our best case scenario is that they come out for 2 minutes, right?
Like, I'm just saying, look on the bright side. Like, maybe they come out, maybe they bear titty. Maybe they, I don't know.
Hey, if the Young Bucks do a run out shirtless, I won't complain about it.
I'd like them to come out shirts on.
Fucking shirt.
I want them to come out shirts on, but I want them to strip. I want the full, I
think Matt Jackson should do some jump roping on screen.
Yes. Matt Jackson comes out, angrily strips off his shirt, gets a chair, sits in the chair,
and
flexes his boobs at me. I won't complain
about it. The great thing is that I know that if Matt Jackson sat down in a chair in the center of the ring, his energy would be so erotically different.
That's true. Hangman was giving, like, I'm so mad right now, and Matt Jackson would be like, everybody see what I've done with my body?
He would be perched in the chair. I don't think he could slouch in the same way.
We do see, and I just want to say thank you so much for showing. We only can see what you show. So thank you for showing on Instagram.com. And I'm sure it is correct that he has been training with the jump rope specifically so he can come out and do the jump roping at Revolution with his shirt off.
Yeah.
I'm going to need him to refilm that, but this time zoom in on the jump rope because
high definition camera.
If I could, in the production meeting, I'd like to bring up that I couldn't see his butt jiggle.
We have to upgrade our cameras because we can't see butt jiggle. It's like, those aren't our cameras. That's his camera.
Get him a better camera. God. What do we need?
Is he an EVP or not? Okay. Do you guys want to talk about any of the rest of this stuff? I think there's two more things here. I just don't, you know, it's like I'm excited to get to our shirtless stuff. Just so any thoughts that you have here? I know that I did raise this exciting topic of the fuckability of Shel Silverstein, but we could save that for another night.
I'll just tell you that I agree, and I've had the thought before. He's a very attractive man.
Yeah.
Was he dead now?
No. Yes, he has been dead for a long time. Yes. But I think one of my friends Googled him and was like, there's this source saying he fucked thousands of women in his life. And it's like, who said that? It's like from his biography or something that was published posthumously, which is kind of fun. Like, it's fun that if you like die and then they're like, let's write a book about him. Let's include that he fucked thousands of women.
See, I was not sure I had seen real pictures of him, but he is pretty attractive.
You know, in some pictures, he looks a little scary, but then if you just don't look at those ones and you look at all the other ones, he has just like a really arresting quality. Now, some might be wondering, how did this end up in the schedule? And I think that may be a mystery that will never be solved for you because I think we should just get to our bods.
Let's go to the bods.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just say I was extremely excited to see Billy Starks on AEW television.
That was very fun. Back. And
stay forever.
I want to see some follow. I want to see. It seems like they're going to head down a route of like maybe doing a mini feud or like maybe that gets us into something with Athena and maybe we get Athena off ROH. That would be really fun. Mm-hmm. So we'll definitely be checking back in on it. There's not too much to comment on from the brief interaction. That's why I felt okay about cruising past.
Yeah.
But it was exciting.
Okay. Should I share my screen?
It's over. It's over to you, Anne. I feel like we need a theme song. Actually, I'll send you something later.
Hey.
Hey, there's a... Now that's a boy that I could get into.
Oh, God, this is such a good wrestle boy.
Perfect boy.
Glide, you beautiful boy.
Glide, you beautiful boy.
Best spots in AEW tournament.
I'm going to go into presentation mode. Can you guys see my screen?
Oh my God. I can.
This is so professional.
I am so excited. Oh my God.
I started it last night, and then I spent from when I finished work at 5 until 8:02 when we started podcasting.
Amazing.
Working on this, and I'm not happy with the final form because I didn't find the pictures weren't as sexy as I hoped. All right, so we've got our best male boss in AEW. We're only doing a male bracket because the women get it all the time, and they're all sexy, and they don't
need this from us. And also, all of us would be lucky if one of the women looked
absolutely.
At
it, so. The thing is that we're like the women. I'm so sorry to these women for the things that they have to put up with. Men, you don't have to put up with this brand of stuff that much. Nope. Enjoy us respectfully, okay? We're going to be respectful, but we're going to be perverted, okay? So just enjoy.
Yeah. So talk through our process. So the way we came up with our seeds and so on is...
God, the raw data.
Each of us submitted our top 20 bods, and we all bucketed them into 4 buckets. So we had like our top tier and then second tier, third tier, 5 each. So then I took that data. If someone got voted a tier 1, they got 4 points for that vote. If they were tier 2, they got 3, and so on. And so then we, added up those points to see who our top seeds were. So I could talk everyone through our top seeds. So we had Hangman and Swerve tied at number 1 for the number 1 seed.
I think everyone could have predicted that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say also we decided we were going to, it was all bod, no personality, but yes. It's really more of a people's sexiest man situation where it's like, here's someone pretty attractive whose career is also going pretty well, I would say. So we tried to keep personality out of it, but you know.
It was hard to set. I think that maybe, yeah, let's have a brief discussion, unless this is later in the PowerPoint, just about that process, how that process was for you of trying to consider what is, to me, a beautiful bod.
Yeah.
Divorced from personality.
Divorced from personality. Yeah, I felt like my tier ones I could do fairly easily because those are the ones where I'll be watching them and be like, my God, what a body, you know?
Yeah.
And then once you got a little lower, it got tougher because there's a lot of good bods out there.
And I really took a moment when I was looking down the roster where I just lingered over each name and was like, is my primal inner self rising in relation to this name? No, then they don't go on the list. Really to be like, what is my reaction to this person's name? Is it lust that it's going?
Wow. Yeah. That, I love that. It was very hard for me to access that because there was something beautiful for me about being like, wow, personality is so important to me. It is a huge factor. So that's really difficult, but I tried to tap into, I tried to tap into that primal lust.
Yeah.
For bodies only.
It was fun going through and seeing your guys' votes too, because for a lot of them I'd be like, oh yeah, definitely. Same page. And then I'd hit one and be like, huh.
I believe you said there were a crew of people where it's like, wow, and they only made one of our lists. And it's like, that's so beautiful. We've said it before. Uh-huh. It's like, whoever you are, some freak out there is delighted with everything that you are and the exact way you look and how you choose to be. And the proof is in the pudding of our lists, where even on this echo chamber of a podcast, each of us had people that was like, that's just for me, though. That's mine.
Yeah. Yeah, so when I went through it and calculated it up, there are some ties. So for those, we decided we'd do a randomizer, so it adds a little fun to... So I, did a random number generator to pick who would be, the first of the tie. And then, so we had, 13 people made the cut, and then there was a 6-way tie for the next, but only 3 slots. So this was one where I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll eliminate anyone who only one of us voted for. But of these people, they all had a score of 3. 5 out of the 6 of them, only one of us had voted for, and we had put them in tier 2, each of them.
Wow.
So we'd all rated them pretty high. Yeah. And then the 6th was Jack Perry that we had all voted for, but in tier 4. So we were all just like, yeah, I mean, sure.
Hard to deny.
I'm quite startled to learn that Allie put Nick Camerato in her tier 2.
Look, we
that was
said,
my biggest O.
Guys, we said
but I loved it.
Only bodies, no personalities. And yeah, I saw his name on the list of the wrestlers, and I said, I do remember being pretty attracted to him, actually. So I looked up the pictures, and he checked a lot of boxes for me. He checked a lot of boxes to the point that I was like, gosh, why don't we see him anymore? He had some kind of surgery or something. So that's why.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, right, Nick Camarota. I was like, I do think he was kind of hot. But I like hadn't even, like, I was like, I should have opened up a pic and just like reminded myself. But I tried to
like eliminate a lot, like immediately a lot of, you know, I was like, let's just keep the absolute ins. And then I had to go searching for like 8 extra men. Like I had really narrowed it down too far.
So we put a lot of thought into it, as you can see. So yeah, so I used a randomizer on those last 6, but we do want to shout each of them out because they rank pretty high for one of us, each of them, and they should. It's an honor just to be nominated. Absolutely. Like, to make the top 16.
Absolutely.
It's incredible. So so shout out to The Blade, who didn't make the cut, but was in this tie. To Christian Cage did make the cut. Jack Perry made the cut. Mark Davis didn't, but real high ranking from Leah.
Wow, that's rough stuff.
MJF made the cut, and Nick Camarota got cut, but
Allie
picked him. So love it.
I love you, Nick.
Yeah. So I'll go down the list with all of the seed values, I guess.
Yeah.
So we had Hangman and Swerve, where Swerve won the seed. So Swerve's our number one seed. Hangman number 2. Then Max Caster was 3. Then Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy tied for the next rank. Which
do not
is
separate.
Pretty funny. Exactly. So Chuck Taylor's 4 and OC is 5. And then John Moxley and Matt Jackson tied for the next tier. And I think our pictures are blocking my spreadsheet, but I think Mox was number 6 and Matt Jackson 7th. And then Will Ospreay went 8. And then Kip Sabian and Takeshita tied. So Kip is number 9.
Hell
Takeshita
yeah.
Takeshita is 10. Then we got Roosh and Trent tied. So Roosh is number 11, Trent number 12, Beast Mortos 13. Then we had our big 6-way tie, and we've got Christian Cage at 14, Jack Perry at 15, and MJF at 16.
Nice.
Those are the sweet 16. Love
it. Yeah. So here's our bracket.
Wow.
Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God. Really, wow, I already see some people who are about to get fucking clobbered.
Yeah, it's,
oh my God,
I know, it's a little upsetting actually when you look at it, because you're like, oh, but his body's so good, but yeah. So we've got in our western bracket here,
yeah,
left, we got Swerve versus MJF, and then Will Ospreay versus Kip Sabian, then Chuck Taylor versus the Beast Mortos, and Orange Cassidy versus Trent. So that corner is our best friends corner. Whoa. Over there. Wow. And then,
Hangman God.
On our Eastern bracket, we've got Hangman versus Jack Perry, then Matt Jackson versus Takeshita, Max Caster versus Christian Cage, and John Moxley versus Roosh.
Wow. I see some exciting conversations to be had.
I know.
Yeah. So should we go through some of these tonight? We could see how much time we have, or we could just do one side of the bracket.
Yeah, I think we should do one side of the bracket.
Yeah.
All right. Should we start with our left-hand Western ones?
Oh, my God, I'm so scared.
Let's do the Western
I'm
conference.
I'm so scared. Okay.
So I tried to get a picture of everyone's body so we could look at it. But I do think you need to look inside your heart and remember their body as you see it, because some of them really, the pictures just were not readily available, and I only had 3 hours to find the sexiest pictures. So some of these aren't fair, the pictures, because one of them, like, because Swerve provided a thirst trap and MJF I had to go hunting for, you know?
Some men did their homework not knowing it was homework, and others didn't. You know, it's sometimes you get rewarded for being a teacher's pet.
So in a way, maybe it is fair.
Yeah.
So, we can start it off here.
Whew.
Got Swerve versus MJF for our first ranking. Swerve, our number 1 seed. MJF, our number 16 seed.
These are great photos, but Swerve in particular, he's just sort of like, what? Like the look on his face, the stance of his body.
I know. And it is really, MJF is actually giving really classic, I mean, who knows what he was mad about there, but right now he's like, how could you do this to me? Of course I have the best body. And it's like, well, we're going to discuss it. We're going to discuss it, okay?
It's up for grabs.
He would be so mad to learn that he was the bottom
16th
right.
seed. Yeah.
He's like, do you know how much steroids I did to have this body?
That was when we liked you the least, was when I think you were on the most steroids. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I don't understand. I've tried to ask a lot of questions about how roids affect the body, and I haven't gotten as many clear answers as I wanted, you know, because sometimes I think someone looks like maybe they're not doing that kind of thing anymore, and then someone's like, yes, they are. I don't know. Mm,
I know.
Where were these guys for you, guys?
Swerve was top tier for me, and MJF was unlisted.
I thought I didn't include MJF. He's in our bottom tie section. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I included him.
Speak to us, Leah.
Well, I really, you know, it's good that we're saying exclude his face because, like, he's making, you know, his hair choices really have not been thrilling me. Yeah. But I just think that you have to give him credit for the butt. He's got a great butt.
And honestly, when I was trying to find a picture of him, I was like, you know, this is the thing where you have to summon in your mind because the pictures, when you're trying to display the bod, mm-hmm. don't show the butt to full advantage.
Why didn't you?
And we all know that Leah's a butt girl, so.
And I love a nice butt.
Yeah. Why didn't you hunt down the video of MJF getting dragged bare-assed into a tent in the ring and take a screen cap of that to use for this PowerPoint? Deck.
Wow. Well, if he goes to the next level, maybe I'll track it down. I simply didn't have time, Allie. I was torrenting files. I was taking screenshots.
I'm sorry, and you're right. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do.
I really didn't anticipate quite how excited I would get about this PowerPoint, which
I did.
It was
I
more
knew
work
you
that
would.
I put in.
I knew you would.
So I really should have made us submit our picks like over the weekend so I could have had days to work on it. But
maybe for a future round.
When we do this next year?
Yeah.
The thing is,
because they needed to be recent picks too. I was like, I found some real thirst traps of Will Ospreay, but they were all from like 5 years ago. And I was like, this is
you want something that reflects reality. The mm-hmm. thing is, you're right. MJF does have an undeniable butt. I think I've learned I'm not as much of a butt girl. I'm not a huge butt girl. MJF lacks what is an ideal quality for me of like a certain, there's got to be like a certain softness on the super hard muscle. You know, it's like I need that, the joining.
Yeah, no, it's like that tweet that's like, men should not have muscles from working in the gym. Men should have muscles from physical labor. And it's like, a lot of our favorites look like they could bale some hay.
Yeah.
It's true. And did you guys find that you like learned some things about yourself doing this? Because I kind of did. I was like, I definitely have I'm much more of a boob girl than a butt girl.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Wow. Yeah. The boobs are huge for me. And it's good when they're huge. That's when they're best. I did keep having to, I really kept having to close my eyes and I said, I have to go to my mind palace. And I imagine that I'm in the room with the body. No face. And it's just like, what would it be like to be near that body? And when I look at these men, like MJF, I'm just like, I would be near his body. It's fine. When I think about Swerve, I'm more sweatily like, I would be near the body.
Yeah.
body. Yeah. Just the various beautiful softnesses and hardnesses of the body.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. For me, Swerve has a real near perfect body here.
It's kind of, Wow, I've never felt like more of a pervert somehow.
I know. Well, it's like we're looking at them.
Yeah.
Should we take our vote?
Yeah.
Who votes Swerve? Or should we go one by one?
Swerve.
Leah.
Oh. Swerve.
Okay. Yeah.
Swerve
for me too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Swerve.
Looking at this, I was like, yeah, it's a classic number one seed versus 16 seed, and there's not an upset, you know? So
MJF, you should be really glad that you placed. Yes. You did a great job.
So many people didn't place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would not say you should go home feeling bad about yourself. You did great. It's just, you know, that's what happens. Swerve is a titan.
Yeah. Just what are you going to do? Yeah. Oh, I did. I meant to highlight this when we were talking about our picks, but I did want to say that Allie on her list was Austin Gunn, but not Colton, and on my list was Colton Gunn, but not Austin.
I'm sad that neither of the Gunns made it, honestly.
No, I mean, they got like 1 point each, but it's, I mean, it was being on our long list was an honor, frankly. Many people, there's like 100 people in the roster.
I know, so. You know, lots didn't make the cut, but and a delicious array of bodies did.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can't wait all for right. us to double date the Gunns.
So our next match is our number 8 seed, Will Ospreay, versus our number 9 seed, Kip Sabian, who, thank you, Kip, posted a thirst trap to his Twitter that I could grab, and I was just kidding putting this picture of Will Ospreay, but it is the only picture of his body that's on the top of his Instagram, and it's with his boy band
hair. He looks pretty cute there.
He does look really cute there.
But here's his bod. It's not it's not an amazing picture, but you know.
This is tough. This is really hard.
This is really hard because they're ranked closely for a reason because
and there's
I enjoy their bodies somewhat equally.
I know, and their bodies are in kind of a similar round, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that kind of
big shoulders, little waist.
Yeah. They're
blonde twink.
Yeah, and they're taller than I would usually say this about, but they both have a certain, you know, I say that Kip is small beef, and Will Ospreay isn't small beef, but there is a bit of, there's something small beef about him sometimes, but he's not small. Mm. But just really, this is really tough. Can anyone make a strong argument for one over the other?
Sorry, Kat. I just poked my cat in the eye.
I was like, what are you perverts up to?
It's really hard. This is really hard for me because I want to put personality into it.
I know.
Because Will Ospreay's personality is obviously so much better. And that's like, would honestly be a big part of his appeal. I mean, Kip, the fact that he let his chest hair grow in just a little bit. He's got that nice dusting.
I do love that chest hair.
I know it.
Looking at these, I was like, I feel like there's been a chest hair resurgence in AEW since when we started watching. A lot of them are letting it grow, which excellent.
We want to see it.
I know.
I think this is really, okay. I know that I've said before, Kip Sabian has a perfect little body. He does. Mm-hmm. But I am having a thing right now where it's like he's really showing his muscles in this picture, and I'm like, put your shirt back on. I want to see your little, I want to see your little curves. You know, I want it to look a little softer. Mm. Will Ospreay has that softness for me. Like some, I think I'm constantly surprised when I see his body, and I'm like, wow, it's a great body. And I don't think about it when I'm not seeing it, but then whenever I see it, I'm like, it's a great body, and it does really cool stuff. So I think I am gonna go Ospreay.
Mm. Wow, it's a surprise.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go Kip. So, oh Ian, you're the tiebreaker.
Oh, wow.
That's so much pressure.
Scary.
I feel like Kip didn't, I didn't even put Kip on my list, and Will Ospreay did, and I think my instinct is more Ospreay, but then when I was looking at pictures, I was like, Kip does have kind of a great body, so it's,
sometimes
it's
you discover
tough.
Something about yourself when you're Googling Kip Sabian shirtless.
Yeah, just like such a normal person. I do think I have to go Ospreay, though.
Okay.
So.
Hey, I'm not mad.
I'm just disappointed. You know? No. But Kip, I am sorry.
It was a tough matchup.
And I have to say, if you had showed me a picture of him in his little shirt with his little gay mage hair up, I think this would have gone a different way.
I mean, this is the thing where I was like putting these pictures in a way when I didn't have days to spend on it to make sure they were like.
So
the
really
most
this is,
accurate pictures I could get. I don't
so
know.
This is really Allie's fault for turning hers in so late.
In a way. And Kip's for posting this as a thirst trap.
So rude. It's not like I missed the deadline.
No, she made the deadline, no problem.
Yeah, Leah, I made the deadline, no problem. Okay, thank you for your bodies.
All right. Thank you for your bodies.
Oh my God, the giver's thing. Yeah,
thank you
for
your
bodies.
Thank you.
All right. We got Chuck Taylor versus number 4C versus the Beast Mortos. And Chuck Taylor, every picture of him for the last 3 years, he's wearing 10 layers of clothes. I literally almost just put him in his suit when he was doing like the cutie boy
he's
poses.
So cute.
Yeah.
It's horrible, though. I'm like, you can't make me delete Dustin's face in my mind.
Dustin's face and personality? I can't delete him? It's not possible.
That's awful.
Meanwhile, Beast Mortos, we don't know anything about his personality, and we've never seen his face. So
yeah,
so it's
easy to delete. Yeah.
I just thirst after his body naturally.
Yeah, wow. This doesn't really feel like a fair fight, but
it's a great picture of Beast Mortos because his thighs look so strong and tree trunky, and his body looks powerful, like he could pick up like an entire like truck.
Yeah.
He had some great pictures on his Instagram, and I almost grabbed one where, you know, he had like his lips showing and had just kind of put an emoji over his face because he looked really good, but it didn't quite show enough of his body. Yeah. So
he has a great body. The thing is that it's like for us, the Tunnel Talk hosts, Dustin has what I'd call a be my boyfriend body. Can you be my boyfriend body?
And in fact, everyone should admire us that he's only the number four seed, really. Showed a lot of restraint.
I think it shows that we tried to be more objective. Well, it's not really about objectivity. It's about subject. It's about our subjective feelings. But I'm going to vote for Dustin's be my boyfriend body.
Yeah, of course, I have to go, Dustin.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
But thank you 100% to both men unanimous. For your bodies.
Yes.
Thank you for your bodies. Yeah. All right. Our next matchup, Orange Cassidy versus Trent. Orange Cassidy at number 5, Trent at number 12.
You really did 12. Choose.
I had a different one for him, and then Sarah posted the slutty picture of him from last night's Dynamite in...
He's in the swimsuit edition, Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. He's posing on a beach. I mean, it's like, okay, slut.
Yep.
I'm hot. I stuck to my guns. I said, Greg's body that's always breaking will not be getting a vote from me. And it didn't. And actually, that also is because Greg really loves working on his muscles, and it's not what I prefer. But
to me, Greg's body, it really works for me. I think really his titties like are so titties. Big.
Yeah.
And the chest hair.
The chest hair is great. You know,
and this incarnation of his body, like early AEW, Trent was too muscly. It wasn't what I like, but slimmed down later. Trent with the shaved head. I mean, I know we're not supposed to be looking for a face, but like
could be a tiebreaker. Yeah. Though, you know, it factors in.
You're at least allowed to go like halfway up to the lips, right? It's like
at least, yeah. He's got a beautiful beard. Yeah.
And then of course, then you have little Orange Cassidy.
OC's tight little bod.
Just, you know, it just hard to discuss.
Real
a little hard to discuss, actually.
Real I know. Contrast in nip sizes between these
well,
two.
Well, Greg has his pepperoni nipples, and OC has his Tic Tacs.
Yeah, but OC's little abs and...
It's just really not what I usually prefer, but it's like the... I don't know. It's like the smallness of the... It's like the muscles are there, but the smallness of the body in some ways.
He's very proportionate in a nice
very
way.
Proportionate, yeah. And I love when he like is... He's being kind of vain, and he clearly is like, look at my beautiful body.
He's so proud of, his beautiful body.
I thought he would have a lot more shirtless pics on his Instagram than he did. They were all just bloody shirtless pics, which honestly, Trent also only had like bloody shirtless pics with his mom.
That's the thing men are most proud of in wrestling is blood. It's not bodies, it's blood.
Which, I mean, it is sexy, but I was like, I think the blood is muddy in the waters here.
Well, I'm going to let you guys take the lead on this.
I really love Trent's body, so this feels painful, but I do have to vote Orange Cassidy.
I'm voting Greg.
Oh, my gosh.
If the rules of the game are which body do you personally feel stronger for, Greg is more my type than OC is. I love you, OC. I love you so much. You're beautiful. I hope you let me look at your body forever. But for me, Greg is more my type.
I don't. When you put it that way, it's really difficult. But at the same time, it's I don't know. It's like kind of not, because again, it's like I look at that little pose from OC and it's like, what am I going to do? Not vote for that body? Like, so I'm going to vote for that body. I'm going to vote for it.
Ooh.
Fair enough. I've now lost two in a row.
All right. Wow. You almost talked me around though. I think now Orange Cassidy is going to go up against Chuck Taylor in the next round.
Oh,
so.
That's going to be rough. That's actually going to be really easy for me. Actually, I don't listen, I won't give the game away, but you guys guess based on things I've said here tonight which of them I'm gonna vote for. But it's sick to pit them against each other, of course.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. It's distressing. That was our Eastern bracket, but I'm having a really good time. Do you guys want to do the Western bracket, or that was the Western bracket? Do you want to do the Eastern bracket as well?
Yeah, I'll do anything. Yeah, we what do you think?
Yeah.
What, how, we did do, how deep are we?
We did a half an hour.
Was that half an hour?
On it. Okay. Yeah. 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 Hmm. So we're at 90 minutes total for the episode.
We probably should save it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, this was, you know, this was an exciting first round.
Wow. Yeah. I can't believe some of these people have been knocked out so early.
I know. Well, it's like when you only have 16, it's like, it's kind of startling to realize like, wow, someone disappears every time.
I'm a little bit like, next year should we do a comedy?
I know, yeah.
Yeah, right, round robin. Actually,
round robin is pretty interesting. That would really change the game.
Yeah, boy.
Wow, and Anne would really go out of her mind if she had that much data.
Pretty excited, yeah.
All right. March 26th, we're doing a round robin.
Yeah. You know, I just want to say, I celebrate all of the bodies. The bodies that that made the bracket, the bodies that didn't. Every body out there. You are
all bodies are good bodies and we are blessed to see them.
Thank you for your
thank you nips. For your bodies. Except FTR.
You can put those bodies
did not make the list.
My God. Imagine. Well, I don't know. It's like, I could see one of you sneaking a little cash on there, you know?
No.
Well, you didn't, but not me. No. I wouldn't, but.
Is this the point in our friendship that you're going to be like, well, I do have a little thing for cash?
No, I just think he's like, just.
When a man, when a man brandishes a gun in Florida, that's what gets me.
Oh my God. Yeah, 6 to midnight. No, I don't have a thing for cash, but I just, like, of the two, I was like, that's more likely to make it, you know? Oh, my gosh. Okay, was there anything that you wanted to talk about? So we'll be back next week with more Botapalooza.
With the Eastern Conference.
The Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. Was there anything you guys wanted to talk about tonight that we did not get a chance to talk about? We didn't talk about Danny Garcia continuing to get forced to associate with FDR, but who wants to think about
it? Dude, it was disgusting. And really unfortunately, none of us have watched Collision yet, so we haven't seen the Tony and Mariah thing, but we will, and also we are excited for them to have a rematch.
I just didn't, unfortunately, some of you came into the channel on the Soshi Suplex Discord, and you were like, girls, I've done it again. Collision is a hot show. And I was like, wow, amazing. Can't wait to see that. And then the days just disappeared. And, you know, the problem with Collision is that it's Collision. It's on Saturday. Uh-huh. Like,
I know. It's like, because we weren't around on Saturday, and then we had a lot of Yellow Jackets
to catch up on.
So we were watching Yellow Jackets on Sunday and Tuesday. Yes. So we would have had to have the discipline to watch Collision on Monday, the worst day of the
week. And I couldn't have because I had to go babysit. So actually, it would have been impossible for us to watch Collision because we can't watch it alone. What were we going to do? Watch it by ourselves? Oh, God.
And we need one night off a week. Yeah. You know?
but we will watch the segment. We'll get back in there. You'll hear about Tony and Mariah next week. I'm so sorry, girls. I'm sorry. We'll get back there to you.
We'll get back to you.
But yeah. So on that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin.
Sometimes it's like a point of pride with you if you can do it by memory. But then when it fails, it fails.
It's just that I don't want to navigate back to where the text is. But I'll just do it. Okay. And then I had in the grab bag a note from Anne that I did end up putting in a segment that was just like, no theme song. And my brain fully glitched where I was like, our theme song, no theme song. Okay. Our theme is by Chris Grorkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, and Twitch at TunnelTalkPod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have merch now. You can find it at chopped-tees.com. You can find us on our feed. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, along with a ton of other great podcasts. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty if you possibly can when it's 50 degrees out. And as always, please come back next week.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.